Welcome to the Matrix Moments podcast. This session is about building a new category in enterprise SaaS and navigating yourself into category leadership position. So for this, we have Sri of Rocket Lane. We've had the pleasure to partner with Sri and Rocket Lane during the seed round back last year. So I would love to hand over to Sri first to give a very quick introduction about himself and the company.
Hey folks, Sri Desai, co-founder and CEO of Rocket Lane. We are a customer onboarding platform, which is a fairly new thing. I'm not sure how many of you watching have come across this before, but essentially if you're selling B2B tech into mid-market or enterprise, there's this whole dance that you need to go through with the customer, where you're setting up things, you're migrating data, you're training their teams, and there's this whole onboarding journey that you know, we try to help you templatize and make seamless so that every customer is onboarded in a consistent way. And that's what Rocket Lane helps you do.
Awesome. So let's roll back the years first. So I think I know Sri from the Freshworks days where we acquired his first company, Konotor. So maybe before we jump into Rocket Lane, would be good to talk about kind of what you experienced, especially on the GTM brand and category front at Konotor, at Freshworks, and how you are thinking about things this time.
Yeah. Right, and this is actually a topic I care quite a bit about. Our first startup journey with Konotor, we were doing a new kind of product as well, right? So messaging had just sort of taken off on the B2C front, right? Like everyone was using WhatsApp and whatnot. So we decided that, people should also be able to message with businesses. And that's what Konotor was all about. It was a SDK or a, plugin that went into other people's mobile apps to enable a messaging experience. If you have used apps like Zomato, Swiggy, BigBasket, etc., or like 1-800-Flowers and so on globally, we were powering the messaging experience inside those apps, which was also a new experience. It was an evangelistic sale. We needed to convince people about it. It was pretty hard to get people to understand why they should do it. And our experience had been that, after the Freshworks acquisition, we sort of pivoted into saying we'll do chat for web and mobile. And web chat, of course, was a very well established category. And we really saw how quickly the business was able to grow when we went into a well established category versus what we had been championing on our own at Konotor. So that one of our biggest learnings actually from the last journey was you can have so much faster growth if you focus on an established category versus going after a new one. And yet here we are.
Yet you've picked a hard problem again of creating a market. Right? So maybe a good point to start with was the day you decided to start Rocket Lane, how were you thinking about marketing on day zero, right? Given it's a blank canvas, but that established need does not exist.
Right. I think one of the big differences between the last journey and this one was we were aware that we need to put that focus, additional focus on marketing to make that new category happen. Right. Last time we thought, hey, we'll build a great product and things will happen. This time, one of the first things I actually did was read a book called Category Creation by Anthony Canada, who is a CMO at Gainsight, which happens to be one of the last successful categories created, customer success, right? And I had quite a few takeaways from the book that we started putting into action on day one.
So where did you start?
So literally, I would say the first month when we had decided this is what we're going to build, one of the things I focused on was to say, okay, if we are to eventually publish a book on customer onboarding, what would the chapters be? And started writing posts, like think of it as blog posts on each what could translate into a chapter, right? So my understanding of what was core in each of those aspects of customer onboarding as a topic. So if we had to teach someone what this is about, what would those key topics be? So that's where we actually got started, writing like 10 blog posts was the first thing I did.
All right, and what came? I know you have a wildly successful community now, but what was the driving force behind that, and how did you land upon that kind of being the right thing to do?
Right, so it was a few things that happened. I would say the first thing was when we went through the whole customer discovery journey, right? When we were talking to people from different companies who were playing roles of like either leadership roles in customer onboarding or founders of companies who were going through evolving their onboarding, we found that a lot of them had focused on different aspects of customer onboarding. They had different takes on what's the right thing to do, which all came from the context of their business, of course, right? And yet, we could see that there were some similarities which could apply across, or you know, you could borrow from one company, a great idea, and there would be others who find that to be a solution for their onboarding challenges as well. So I saw merit in creating a space where people could share with each other. But what made things even more apparent is I was chatting with a founder who told me the story of how they used to have like a 5-month process to onboard a customer and what he did to get it down to 1 month, right? Like it was a series of things that they figured. And I said, hey, will you be open to chatting about this with other founders or, you know, other leaders in implementation and onboarding? And he said, yeah, sure, why not? I posted that I'm going to do this sort of chat with this person, Nimesh from Rockmetric. Posted on a WhatsApp group which had a lot of enterprise SaaS founders, and all of them said yes, I'd be, you know, game to join in, or I want my implementation leader to join in, and so on. So we all of a sudden had this event on a Saturday evening where there were 30 people on a Zoom call. And it was super engaging, right? Like people were asking questions. It was a 1-hour session and Nimesh had to drop off after that, but people still had questions. So I said, hey, why don't you all join this Slack group that I've created and let's continue the conversation there. And that's how the community started. But what we did from there was say, hey, every month, let's do 2 of these sessions where we invite someone to talk about their onboarding. And we will invite all those who had attended the first session and the second session and so on to the next session. But we will also talk about it on LinkedIn and social to get more people in. And everyone who joins also ends up in our Slack community. So that's how the Slack thing got started. And the minute we had 50 people in there, we knew that, hey, we want to turn this into something bigger.
Got it. And just as an aside, do you think this would work for every other category, or was just the, you know, construct somewhat different that you had this opportunity to create over here?
I think, you know, there are a bunch of functions for which a lot of communities already exist, right? So if you look at marketing, digital marketing, there's like tons of WhatsApp groups, Slack communities, etc. for it, even for customer success for that matter. But for onboarding or implementation folks, there wasn't a specific space where people can go and engage, right? There were threads that, you know, popped up around this from time to time in a CS community, but there wasn't one space meant for just these folks in professional services, implementation, onboarding. And so I think it is different for us, but I feel there may be niches around what you're building where communities may not exist. I have some examples as well, but you know, broadly, I think you can still find either a direct persona who needs a community or an influencer who doesn't have a space where they can share today and go build something around it. And it is hard to build a community, but I think it is worthwhile.
And obviously, every community has a cold start problem. So how did you think about that time investment, and like after getting to those first 30 or 50 people, where did you go from there?
Yeah, I think the cold start is a real problem, not just for the first 50 or 100, but you know, looking back, I think only when we reached like 800,000 people was there a lot of engagement and action happening in the community. And I think the first thing we got right was anticipating and acknowledging that there will be a problem. Like, we didn't go in expecting that these 50 people we added will start having conversations. In fact, I remember I was chatting about this with our marketing lead as well as with an intern we had hired at that point to run the community, that don't expect engagement. We are going to be the ones who have to pull, you know, people into conversations. We are going to have to, you know, post questions into the community ourselves. If someone asks a question, others are not going to answer. We need to figure out who is good at answering it and tag them for them to come and answer. So these are things we sort of knew would be the case, right? You know, you're not going to see automatic traction. And we mentally prepared ourselves for like a period of time where it's all driven by us. We got lucky that we had some friends of Rocketlane, like folks who had worked with me at Freshworks before, or, you know, some of our early customers, early design partners who are also passionate about the problem. So they started contributing. And then the people who we featured in those monthly events, they would also start engaging because they now had an affinity to our platform, right? So those things helped us to make it seem like it was buzzing, right? And I think just the new people joining in created some buzz as well. People will join, introduce themselves. We would tag them and ask them to introduce themselves. Those things helped, but I would say it took us a year to get to a lot of organic activity where, you know, we don't even need to do anything today. In fact, there are, I think, 15 or 16 city chapters now where people also organize their own events. So it's, you know, taking a life of its own. Okay.
So you were committed in the long term. You seeded a lot of conversations early, but you mentioned like people coming in, introducing yourself themselves. So where were these people coming from? How were they finding their way into the community?
Right. I think we did a few things. One, for every event that we did, I used to make notes from the event of what I learned. And these were like genuine learnings. This was
like tactical sort of.
Yeah. Like whatever we learned, put it into like a Notion doc. It wasn't a formal blog post on a website. It was just a Notion document with my notes. And at the end of it, there was also, hey, for more conversations, you can join our community pre-flight, a link. And I would post this on social. I would post it inside the community as well if someone wanted to share it with someone else. So that had some amount of inbound happening because it was genuinely useful content, right? And it wasn't from us. It was like someone shared something interesting with us and we posted it. We also started doing this SDR type motion of inviting people because we saw that very early on, because of our location at that point, all of us were in India. So we had some leaders from India presenting and there were a lot of people joining from other Indian companies. But we always knew that we wanted to be a global company. So we sort of said, let's invite people globally. Let's do some global events. So we started like cold connecting with people on LinkedIn. Nothing about Rocketlane, but hey, we have this community called Preflight. We have people from companies like Gainsight and Zendesk and ChargeMe and so on in it. Why don't you join, right? And then people started joining in because in this function, there was that yearning to be part of something where we could learn and grow. So that helped.
Got it. And so the events took a life of their own, right? As the podcast, right? So what else did you do?
So I would say, I mean, the events were their own thing, but we actually started a podcast separately, right? So the events were recorded. Yes, that video content is still sitting with us. We haven't really, you know, made use of them yet. But we also started a separate podcast where we interviewed leaders in CS. And we called it the Launch Station. So there was Preflight, the Launch Station, Rocketlane, everything themed around our company. The reason we invested, and it was a lot of time. Initially, I haven't done a podcast before. It was a lot of time for me to get it right, redo things, etc. In fact, the first ever guest, we had them come twice, like record the whole thing a second time as well. And the reason we invested in all of this was we knew that to be a category leader in a new and emerging category, at every point in time, we need to look bigger than where we are. So if you look at our website, there have been people who have told us, I thought this company must be at least 2-3 years old. And that was when it was a month since we launched. So we put in a lot of effort into bringing out content, bringing out thought leadership, bringing out all of these avenues where we are present. Here's a podcast, here's a community. It can't be a 1 month old company, right? Usually. But in this case, it was a product that had launched a month before. We actually launched the community 9 months before we launched the product.
So you almost started building the community when you started building the product.
Yes. So content, community, podcast, we prepared and created all of that ahead of launch. So when we launched, we looked, you know, way ahead of where we actually were. And it's something we continue to do. I would say we plan these sort of initiatives every quarter, which we try to focus on and deliver from a marketing side. So if it was community, podcast, etc. before, website, you know, we then started focusing on, let's do events and let's create thought leadership content that we can, we're going to reuse some of it, but we created three key pieces of thought leadership content which we used through the last year. So, and we invested a lot of energy into these. And what's worked beautifully, I would say, is our sales and marketing working hand in hand. So sales, of course, has targets to hit their revenue numbers, right? Their quota. But they don't look at it as siloed, you know, I'm just going to focus on the numbers. They actually talk to every prospect about, hey, by the way, you should join our community, whether or not you buy our product. You should, you know, look at these great resources that we have. We have an RFP that we, you know, template for you to use if you're looking for software in this space. We have podcasts that you should tune into. We have this event that's upcoming. We did Propel, the first ever customer onboarding conference, a 2-day event. So all of these were big things that we planned and executed on. And our sales team has not just, you know, looked at it as things aiding them, but has actually been passionate about our initiatives as well. And that helps. And even for the customer, I think that creates that sense of, hey, this company is doing so many things, right?
They're about the mission, not just the product.
Exactly. It's the mission, it's also the maturity. So the two things which help us, I believe, close more customers are also, you know, people understanding that we're passionate about the problem and we're a mature company.
And I think we have to talk about the rap video. So how did that come to life?
Yeah, for those who haven't watched, look up the, you know, our story so far, Rocket Lane. I think it's a rap that we did for our CDSA announcement. And like a lot of things at Rocket Lane, I think...
Because I know all three of you and that's just not you, so...
True. Someday I will surprise you, but
okay.
As of now, it's not us. But yeah, it's, you know, a lot of things we do. The big things, we sort of put a timeline around something, make a decision, and then work backwards from there. And likewise, this was like, hey, Jan 19th was gonna be our funding announcement, PR. Let's make like something share worthy before it. And we were lucky that we had this guy Rahul on our team on the content, you know, content marketing side, who's a rapper and a stand-up comic. And we had hired him for this. Like, we know that when we're creating a category, we need to also put ourselves out there in as many ways as we can. We need to create some share-worthy content. We need to get some eyeballs to look at us. And that was what the rap was all about, right? How do we make some noise? And how do we, you know, raise above the clutter? Everyone's doing a funding announcement. It's not news anymore, right? In fact, you know, TechCrunch probably wouldn't carry news of like funding announcements now if it doesn't meet some buzzworthy criteria for them. And for us, this was about saying, hey, there's this great opportunity. We have great talent. Let's showcase that talent. Let's also showcase who we are in terms of our culture as a team, that we are a cool company, a modern brand, right? And that's another important thing for me, that I think not enough startups focus on brand early, and it can never be bad for you if you build brand. Yes, you need to get to product market fit. You need to like get your sales going and so on, and there's no point just building a brand. But we're sort of thinking long term, and I have luckily, like we have a good team, have two other co-founders also who are looking at product and so on. So I could take that moment to say, okay, let's focus a little bit on brand. And this is also about hiring, right? So if people see that video, it's so much easier to close candidates. Now I've actually made this my Zoom waiting room video. So anyone who comes on a meeting with us, you know, if you're waiting for 2 minutes, it's so that you watch the video as well. But yeah, it's the effort that went into it from my side was close to nil. And yet, like, it came out pretty amazingly.
And just when you think about all these investments around brand, right? So I think question on every founder's mind is, how do you think about returns and ROI, right? So how did you think about it early days, even when you put out like a Rocket Lane rap video, right? How do you know what's working, what's not working, where to double down?
Right. I think this has been a very conscious effort to say we're playing a long game here. Now, some things will work, some things won't. But every time we are going in asking ourselves, hey, is the content we are creating shareworthy? Is it useful? Like if it's a blog we are writing, in a category creation play, the search volume is pretty low, right? People are not like all searching for customer onboarding. But if someone lands on our site searching for something on customer onboarding, they better find it to be valuable, right? Otherwise you've lost, you know, the person is gonna not think of you as a high quality company anymore. So we really focused on having a high bar for whatever we put out. And you know, all these events, like we have 1,800 people in the community now. And we had 3,000 people attend Propel, rather register for Propel, I think 1,000 attended live. So all of this adds up over a period of time. And because we're taking a long view, and we believe like how revenues are sort of compounding and cumulative in SaaS, brand is also like that. And so is like all your marketing efforts, all the content you do, it's all going to add up at some point and give you returns. We don't measure it on a daily basis. I know that this is all helping us close those deals faster. Whoever is coming in through the door values what we built as a team, is able to close. Likewise, the rap video helped us close so many hires. It makes us a more attractive company to work with. So there is enough value in all of that. To be honest, the like dollar investment was only $200 to make that video. Of course, it took time from like a couple of people on the team though.
Got it. And I think I say this when it comes to marketing, because I ran a marketing team, is when it comes to marketing, everyone has an opinion, because there is no right or wrong, and everyone's opinion is better than your opinion. So how did you think about it? And like, just like we are talking about a rap video or Propel event and all the things that worked, were there examples where things didn't work or didn't go to plan, and how did you think about those?
Sure. I think we've done announcements for some of the features that we launched. I don't think those necessarily like we made like great videos, but it was a little inside out in a way. We felt good about those videos, and probably for someone already looking at what we are, those were great videos to explain things. But in hindsight, if someone wasn't looking for something, right, I don't think those videos would have made a difference to them. I don't think it would have pulled them towards us. So some realization, that's, you know, at some point we said, let's aim for shareworthy content. It may or may not work, yes. And of course, we've done a bunch of PR. Not everything has always you know, gotten enough coverage. We have launched some great, I would say, pieces of content. Like we had this state of customer onboarding survey that we did, and we did a launch event on that survey results with Donna Weber, who's one of the experts in customer onboarding as a space. That was a hit. At the same time, we did like a maturity assessment model. I think those who came across it have really found it to be like a great resource for them, valuable resource. But it's not like widespread yet that, you know, everyone's taking out the survey. It's a simple enough thing, but you know, we need to figure out how to distribute it better.
Got it. And I guess last question from me, but as a founder, right, how involved are you in some of these things? Where do you spend your time between, you know, like right from marketing, sales, success, all of that? So, yeah.
Right. I think I am very involved with marketing, sales, and post-sale customer success support. If anything, I would say my nature is to drift more into support, but for this venture, what I've done is, at least in the first year or the first year and a half, because we started a lot of this before we launched the product, I've focused almost alternate quarters on more marketing efforts or more sales efforts. So obviously leading up to launch was a lot more on marketing. You know, the community podcast, etc., was where a lot of time was spent. Post-launch, the first quarter was completely focused on sales. And then we did some events. So, you know, we needed to focus on doing those events really well. We needed some thought leadership content for it. So I needed to like create that content, practice delivering it, and focus on that. Appeared on a bunch of podcasts around our launch as well. So PR had a lot of my time going into it, but I would say the tilt was towards sales that quarter. The next quarter we came back and said, okay, let's do more on marketing. Then the next quarter a little more on sales. But for the big initiatives each quarter, the two big initiatives we drive on marketing each quarter, I've sort of made sure that we set a very high bar, and I get pretty involved in at least one of them, and sort of ensure that the stuff we're putting out is of very high quality. So we do have that quality bar which needs my involvement, and there's probably one big initiative that I get involved in each quarter on the marketing side.
Got it. Awesome. And I think last question, but any, when you think about this journey, and you obviously are talking to a lot of other founders, early stage entrepreneurs in the ecosystem, so any advice for them or any kind of common mistakes you see that you think can be avoided?
Yeah, I think you know, this whole appearing bigger than you are, I think is key. If you believe that you're not truly testing if the market will work, but rather you have enough insight to believe it's going to work, then in a way it's up to us to make it happen. And often things like content, you know, some of these marketing initiatives need founder involvement, and we can't just hire a content marketer and, you know, hope that they're going to deliver highest quality content on a regular basis, because they're good at content marketing. The domain expertise still needs to come from you.
So the domain and the narrative comes from you.
Right. I've seen how Krish from ChargeBee used to go into work on a Saturday, sit with their content team and map out what are the topics we're going to write about and what goes in as the core for each of those. Now, the content marketer is obviously great at telling that story the right way, giving like a beautiful analogy to start with, which is going to like capture the attention of the person reading, keep them, you know, hooked to the content. But it's still like your job to give them the material to go with it. And I think the other thing I would say is, you know, each of us needs to find a few channels that we're going to really bet on and double down on those. For us, G2 was one of those where we really managed to, you know, push hard, get customers to review us, put in their, you know, I think we might have even annoyed a few of them, but overall it's been good because we got to be a leader in two quarters and now we are at number one.
Got it. Awesome. So I think just to summarize, start marketing on day zero, the day you start building product, play the long game, right? Hire a rap musician, find those launch events, deadlines, activities that unite the entire team. And even if you are a 1 year old baby who's learning how to crawl, you have to appear like that mature 5, 6, 7 year old organization.
Absolutely. That's pretty much sums it up. Okay.
Awesome. Thank you for doing this. And hopefully the jet lag is not too bad because we are in sunny SF, but you can go grab some coffee now.
Perfect.
Thanks for tuning in. For more Matrix Moments episodes, you can head to www.matrixpartners.in/matrixmoments. You can also follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for more updates.